I wrote most of this book unthinkably isolated with my family in our New York City apartment during a global pandemic. Our solitude was punctuated by a terrifying blare of ambulances speeding up and down the avenue, their sirens amplified by the empty streets. There was nowhere to go, and a lot of time to reconsider many things. The political theatre in the press was one of our few distractions, with daily accounts of brazen assaults on our democratic institutions, both at home and abroad. I had the nagging sense that the post-war liberal democratic heritage that we had always assumed would be our birthright was starting to feel like a losing hand of poker. The game keeps us engaged, although the winning hands are few, and there seems to be a lot of cheating. As defenders of the democratic tradition, we were watching the chips pile up in adversarial hands, hoping that the tide would change, without ever folding and re-evaluating both the gravity of our loss and a better strategy. As I write, 18 states in the United States have passed laws making it harder for citizens to vote. After decades of efforts by the Federalist Society, the composition of the US Supreme Court has endowed seats for life to an ultra-conservative majority that does not reflect the will of the people on banner issues like abortion. Political polarization, which has marched hand in hand with income inequality since the end of the Second World War, is reaching new vertiginous heights, amplified by a cohort of vaccinated Republican governors who wave the flag of civil liberties in relentless maskless anti-vax campaigns that are filling hospitals to capacity with unvaccinated believers dying of COVID. While we can protest the infringement on our civil liberties to end a global pandemic through vaccine mandates, we are free to eclipse a woman's basic sovereignty over her own body, exemplified by the restrictive abortion law recently passed in the state of Texas, taking direct aim at Roe v. Wade, a Supreme Court decision dating to the 1970s that is supported by a majority of Americans. The tides of anti-Semitism are rising, not just in the United States, where reported acts of anti-Semitism remain at historic highs. Alarmingly, basic truth, either spoken by our elected officials or in the echo chambers of social media, is elastic and negotiable. The losing chips seem to be piling up. None of the assaults on our democracy are new, just the examples we use to describe them. There has been a debate about the democratic continuum that goes back to the sages of ancient Greece. In fact, these symptoms of democratic decay are all too familiar. After all, Hitler was democratically elected and even voted for by many Jews in the vain hope that being on his side would spare them the worst of his threats. German Jewish newspapers in the 1930s flatly refused to believe that Hitler would execute on his worst stated instincts. Europe in the 1930s had many similar warnings to today, mostly ignored or rationalized. A new wave of populism, both in Europe and the United States, demands that we view the rise and ultimate demise of fascism in the 1930s differently. Sometimes these lessons are found in the least likely of places. What started as an ordinary country pub lunch on an unusually sunny Sunday before the Brexit vote in June 2016, just days before the British vote to leave the EU, revealed the enduring British fascination with the legacy of World War II. Billboards proclaiming, "Jerry's, go home," evoked the Second World War front and centre at the core of the British psyche today. Remarkably, the archives of British history present an entirely different and hidden history of Britain in the 1930s, one marked by German complicity at the highest ranks of British society. The narrative of the brave forces upholding democracy and a fragile new world order could just as easily have tipped the other way in England, the flashpoint of liberal democracy in the days leading up to the war. There are many implicit parallels to England in the 1930s in today's world. One of the most troubling is complacency and its repercussions. During this period in England, from Chamberlain's policy of appeasement to a groundswell of support for Hitler among the British ruling class, The future of democracy turned on the head of a pin.